You're listening to The Moment, an interview podcast series on life. We interview and capture conversations with creative minds, thought leaders, disruptors, and the people that are doing what they love while challenging the status quo. You can find the show notes on our website, themomenthq.com, and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. But for now, let's dive into The Moment. And welcome to another episode of The Moment Podcast. I'm Monica Cade. And today our special guest is Jen George, a young woman who is the founder of OneShift. OneShift is the most popular online platform that matches people with jobs Australia-wide. This can be anything from one-off shifts, casual work, or permanent employment. In 2012, Jen launched OneShift off the back of a free blog, some posters, duct tape, and an iPad. Today, OneShift has over 670,000 users and 39,000 businesses across the whole of Australia. Jen is heavily involved in the startup and business community in Australia, and she's a very inspiring young woman out there doing her thing. So let's begin our conversation. Good morning, Jen. Thanks so much for being here with me today.
Thanks for having me.
So for those of the people that may not be familiar with your journey, can you take us back to when you were backpacking and traveling and, you know, you had this big idea to start OneShift? Can you take us back to that point in your life and tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, sure. So I decided to go on a gap year, or I was fortunate enough to, I finished high school and I was given a scholarship to Bond University on the Gold Coast. So I enrolled for a double degree, one in law and one in property, and did the first year and thought, oh my goodness, this is not for me. So after the first year, I moved back to Sydney and worked for 6 months to save up and go on a gap year. I worked at Knight Frank, a property company, as a receptionist, and then jumped on a plane to the south of France where you could work in the super yacht industry. And it's an amazing place because because of the food, wine and culture and amazing things. But for the working part of it, you can actually, you get paid about 2,500 euros a month to work on these amazingly owned, privately owned, generally, 60 metre boats, fed, accommodated. You just wait until the owners come on. And, you know, of course, somebody has to test the jet skis out to make sure they work. So it's a tough gig.
Very tough.
Yes. But because it's, you know, a great setup and a great way of saving money and having fun at the same time and checking out Europe, you can actually, there's a high demand. So there's always people looking to get into these jobs. Mm-hmm. So you hit the docks very traditionally. You print off a resume. You walk down the docks and try and hand it to the captains and try and negotiate to try and find the top person to get it to. Mm-hmm. Basically, I was fortunate enough to meet a captain who said, who basically went, "Do you like paella?" I said, "Yes." And he goes, "Do you like rosé?" I said, "Yes." Good girl who wants to go check out Europe was very interested in seeing, you know, what was, I guess, available out there. And the interview process was very different. He just wanted to literally have lunch and find out about who I was and what I wanted. I was like, okay, this is interesting.
Awesome.
By the end of lunch, he said, "Great, do you want a job?" And I said, "Yes, please. I have 20 euros left to my name. I'd love to start today." He said, "Good luck. You've got 30 days to survive because the job doesn't start for 30 days. And I was like, "Oh." And so I tried to negotiate. He said, "Well, there's plenty of people lining up outside waiting, so either you want the job or not." And of course I said, "Yes, I'll figure it out. I'll see you in 30 days.
Yeah.
And I did what any 20-year-old does. And I picked up the phone to Dad as I jumped off the boat and told him my situation. He laughed and hung up just as quickly.
Awesome.
So he said, basically, you told me you'll figure it out. And so off I went. And so I went back to the hostel where I was staying at and the coffee shop downstairs where everyone went for food, and partly because it was cheap and it was open all the time. And basically said to the guy, "Look, we're all here anyway. We're overqualified to handle a bacon and egg roll. Give us the shifts, pay us the money, but give us the flexibility to choose when we all want to work. Mm. And you're getting customers who are going to keep paying to come here." And he agreed. So I picked up some shifts and survived the month, and then got on the boat, which was fantastic. So that's kind of where the working concept of OneShift started. And
mm-hmm.
when I came back to Australia about 8 months later, I went, okay, my friends are trying to find work, I'm trying to find work, so I'll just do a free blog and try and connect people because people are always asking me. So I started working at Colliers International, a property company, and did I guess, a team assistant role there for almost 6 months as well. Mm-hmm. And on that time, I started this blog and would print posters off and go to universities at night and cover the place from top to bottom very bad, poorly with duct tape and WordPress design posters. I mean, sorry, Word doc posters. Yes. And then would harass businesses on the weekend with an iPad saying, you know, sign up to this magical website that instantly connects candidates and businesses, but was in fact me up at till 3 a.m. in the morning going, oh yeah, you'll do connect.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so in the first month we had 300 uni students and a couple of clubs using it. And after that we knew it was a concept.
And so did you feel that you had complete belief in yourself? Because, I mean, from what you've shared, it sounds like you were really gung-ho and you were like, yeah, I can do this. And I feel that there's a lot of people out there in the startup community that, you know, they believe in it, but they also have their doubts and things like that. Did you feel that way as well?
To be honest, it's not like, personally, I didn't walk out and go, oh, I'm just going to do this, it'll be easy.
Yeah.
I'm going to start a business. It was never about starting a business. It was, well, you know, I've got a problem, my friend, you know, if somebody calls you and says, hey, I need your help, I need a job, you try and help them. And it was kind of one of those things that it just kind of evolved, trying to help my friends, trying to help myself find a job, extra work. And it was a very 21-year-old's view on life, you know. I want to work Friday night so that I can afford to go out Saturday night kind of thing.
Sure.
And then, as I grew up, it grew up, and now it's full-time work as well. So I think the biggest thing is people can have a fear of failure. You know, do I keep trying things or see what happens? If I do this big, you know, this big business idea, are people going to think of me differently because it didn't work, or are they going to talk behind my back, or whatever the case? And I think what's so fantastic, especially what we're seeing in the market, you know, in the last 4 years since I guess the startup community has grown up a bit or evolved, it's a lot more common, and you're getting to hear the really cool startup stories. And you know, it's not glamorous. Startup world sucks. You have the most annoying days. That's where the shittest days possible. Well, you just want to climb under your desk and hug that bottle of wine. but then you have absolutely amazing days where, you know, 6 months of hard work, blood, sweat, and tears pays off, and you know, a big deal comes through, or whatever the case. So, I think taking that first step and finding a community that you can connect into is really what's going to help you do that. So, finding things like Like-Minded Bitches Drinking Wine, where there's, you know, 5,300 women across Australia who do startups, and we basically catch up once a month and have a glass of wine and learn from each other, try and collaborate and share war stories and success stories, and see how we can do things better. So I think there's definitely a culture there for it now, and it's a great time to get involved in the startup space.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's such a great page as well. Like, I'm part of it. It's very inspiring to see all these different things that people are up to. And it's nice to see that there is that support, because I feel like, well, you mentioned, you know, the startup community is evolving, but now it seems to be like we're in this together, and you don't have to feel like you're going it alone. And there's all this, it's like a big group, a sounding board when you don't know something, which is awesome.
And it's okay to ask questions, even if they're the silliest of questions, because chances are 4 other people were thinking it.
Exactly. And what I like is that there also seems to be because there's a mix of people as to where they are on their journey. What I love is that it's not, there's no kind of a status thing, you know, that's an equal playing field. Like, everyone's in there together to draw experience from each other, and no one's better than someone else. So I really like that about the page too.
Exactly. And I think it's interesting. We've not once seen any negative, awkward, you know, it's, as you said, everybody's on the same playing field, but it's also self-monitoring. Mm-hmm. So anything that kind of goes wayward, the group's dealing with it. It's not, you know, myself and Jane Lou, who started it, kind of jumping down people's throats. It's by members for members. And I think that's what makes it important to be sustainable and scalable.
Mm. Yeah, it's awesome. And tell me, what was it like growing up in your household? What was the way that your parents brought you up in regards to work ethic?
You know, from 5 a.m. they were trying to make us practice doing startups, and then we'd go for a run. And no, I'm joking, by the way.
boot camp.
Yeah, startup boot camp from age 4. To be honest, I'm one of 4 kids, and we're all very different paths, but all very, my brothers used to stand on the side of the road and sell mangoes when they were younger. My sister did a clothing rental business. So it's not unheard of in my household to, in my parents' household, while we're all under that roof, to, you know, run around trying things out and seeing what happens. We were very fortunate to have both parents who had started and run successful businesses. Even my mum, who doesn't portray herself in any way, you know, as I've gotten older, you keep finding more and more about what my mum did. And I'm going, hang on, you told me that you're a stay-at-home mum. Great, love it. But now I'm finding out you did this recruitment business and then sold it off successfully. What happened? And then she's, you know, you find out she's done three or four businesses after that as well and sold them off successfully.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to think that it's not seen as the thing to I guess talk about and that you can learn from, and I think that that's really changing. It's evident in like-minded bitches, and it's nice to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And being so young in business, how has that impacted you personally?
Oh, I'm so old now. It's like $16 doing $1 million apps all around the world.
Yeah, I know, it is changing, isn't it?
No, look, to be honest, I think a good lesson my father taught me was that nobody really knows the right answer. So it's all based on experience and knowledge from around you and trying to navigate the best possible path. And I think empowering my team, who are, you know, hire the smartest people you can possibly find and be the dumbest person in the room, you've got half a chance of success. So I've been trying to do that, and that's, you know, I think giving them the freedom to run the business as a group and to, you know, where we need to go, I think that's what's allowed us to be so successful to date. And that's where the success of our new product, Skilled, has come from. It's only 3 months old now, skilled.com, and it's, you know, we've signed multi-million-dollar deals already for it. So it's a credit to the team for doing that. So being, doesn't matter your age, I think you've got to figure out your own management style and realize that nobody has the right answer, no matter how old you are.
So true, exactly. You got to self-direct your life and then just draw inspiration and guidance from, you know, where you feel that it's right.
Exactly.
And then tell me, what does success mean to you?
Finding something you're passionate about. I think the toughest part is you can get a great paying job with a great title or start a business and not be interested in it. And I think you feel like you're going to work every day. I think what's great about what we're doing with Skilled and One Shift is it's, you know, one of our team values is family first, then we've got no bullshit, make it happen, and test, fail, learn. So we're constantly trying things, seeing what works, what doesn't, stuffing it up completely and hopefully learning from it and then trying it again and getting hopefully better and better at what we do. And I think from doing that, we've been able to create a culture where it's not work. You know, we're very comfortable coming in 6 days a week, even other weekends, 7 this weekend, and Monday we'll be in, just because we're all so passionate about where we're heading. And it's not work. It's, you know, if we don't get this done, then we don't get to, you know, do this next thing. That's what inspires everyone, I think.
Yeah, sounds awesome. And do you feel that, you know, for people that are at the startup phase, do you think that having a side job is a supportive thing to do rather than, you know, being all in and putting the expectation on your startup growing quick enough?
I think if you're not, I think it's tougher because I think everyone's journey is different, and I think you've got to do what's right for you. I 100% believe that. What was right for me was to do a job at the same time, because it gave me not only the barrier to double check, you know, is this the path I want to go down? I can dip my toe in, see if it worked, if it didn't, and then keep moving. You know, I was staying up all hours to make sure that, you know, we're doing everything we possibly could while also going to work. So I think it really comes down to the person, what they're trying to achieve and what's important. If you've got a family as well, you know, I honestly do not know how people fit in, you know, everything into the day with trying to do a full-time, you know, even a part-time or full-time job with a family, with then a startup on top of it. It's, I'm yet to figure that one out, but it really comes down to everyone individually.
I really like that answer. It's I haven't heard someone answer it in that way before, so I really like that.
What do you find the most common answer? Interesting, isn't it?
I feel like most commonly people say that, yes, you need to have a side job, and I guess it really does come down to, you know, your own personal experience and your own personal situation and what you feel is right for you. So, yeah, most of the time I've heard, yes, you should have something else, because then you don't also then put the pressure on your baby being this has to work, because if it doesn't, like, I've got nothing else, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's a very fair point, but it's, could have you ever seen somebody who can sufficiently devote 100% attention and time to their family and then 100% attention and time then to a start to give it the best success and then the job that's supposed to be paying your bills? Like, it's kudos to everyone who kind of cracks that, because that's tough.
Yeah,
and you can't expect, say to them, hey, quit your job, it'll be fine, your family will be fine. Like, how do you know?
yeah, so true. I think that's it's an excellent point for everyone to reflect on for themselves and really just ask themselves that question. Okay, what do you love about the entrepreneurial space?
That anything's possible. And when you're told that it's not, people want to work 10 times harder to figure it to, you know, completely change the status quo.
Yeah, awesome. And what dream do you have in the pipeline, whether it's in business or just overall?
Look, we're heading down a pretty interesting path from where we first started, I guess, and we never thought we'd kind of end up in this space. So skills heading down a machine learning and artificial intelligence path, which is kind of cool. So we'll be able to predict before people know that they need stuff based on statistics and big data and, you know, all this sort of stuff, so that they have the right person in front of them before they're even having to consider going out and searching for somebody. So I guess that's my dream, to make that successful, to change the way that local people find local businesses and vice versa. It's very much based on an industry of imports of what people think they want or they think they are, and it's inefficient, costs so much money, especially when you lose somebody. And how do we make it about the cultural fit? Because it is, there's a rapid decline in the amount of time that people stay and work in the same job these days, which is fine.
Yeah.
It's just then, how do we then, A, make sure that you've always got work that suits you culturally and your skill set in your area, and then also for businesses, how do we make sure that they always have the right people in their team to make sure their business is successful, so they can focus on the important things rather than where's my next staff member coming from? So from a global sense, how do we create a global marketplace of talent that's constantly moving around? And, you know, that's the dream for me. I think it's going to be a really interesting challenge, and I think we've got the right team to do it.
It sounds exciting. I can't wait to watch it and see how it unfolds for you.
Thanks.
So I've got some signature questions for you to finish off with.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what moves you.
People.
Mm-hmm. And what are you afraid of?
Hopefully not the dark.
We can get you a little nightlight.
No, to be honest, I think, what am I scared of? I don't know what I'm scared of, to be honest. I think I probably, it started when you move too quickly to figure out if you're afraid of it or not, and then go, oh, shit, that was scary after.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one.
I'm probably the most swearing person on your podcast today.
Oh, look, I don't mind at all, and I'm sure our listeners don't mind either. And if they do, they don't have to listen anymore. all right, and what do you think is your greatest asset?
I think the ability to the ability to change tact. Let me say this. So I think my greatest thing is being able to enable my team to make decisions, and it doesn't have to be to set my decision on exactly what path we need to take, and that we can keep evolving. It's the courage to say that I'm wrong. Let's try something different. This isn't working. And I think it's a tough thing. It's taken me years to figure that out, that it is the right management style. But I think once you get there, you can really see the value of it.
Very being open and authentic, and from there you can create so many changes without being stuck in one particular way as well.
Yes, exactly. And it takes courage to change, because you've put yourself out there with an idea, and you've taken that first step, but then you know, it's even harder then to go, actually, I was wrong, let's now fully focus behind something else.
Awesome. Then last question, what is the greatest piece of advice that you've been given?
Just start. Go meet somebody in the space, have that first conversation, and the rest will sort itself out. The hardest part is just having that first conversation.
Awesome. Thanks so much for your time today. It's been a really, really enjoyable conversation.
Thank you. No, thank you very much for having me. It's been great.
All right. Take care.